you tonight. Thank you, musicians. I welcome you to join me in standing as we read this text, Matthew 16. We're going to Matthew 16, verses 16 through, let's go through 19, 16 through 19. Praise the Lord. If you're there, shout amen. Praise God. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Come, Holy Spirit, inspire our hearts with your presence. We feel and we sense your nearness, Lord. Let the flame burn within us, stirring us as we worship and savor your presence. Energize our lives to the work of Christ. Lift us and transform us. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel your presence, Lord. Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, "The church rolls on." God bless you. You can be seated. The church rolls on. Hallelujah. I couldn't resist that photo. Folks, I believe that's what Christ predicted would happen when he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let me focus our attention for a few minutes tonight on the particular part of the text that is verse 18, where Christ says, "I will build my church." How many know as men we can build movements? There's a lot of movements in our nation right now. Some very positive, some not too positive. Men can build organizations, but only Christ can build the true church. Now, there are some churches and there are some denominations built by men. I've attended churches that I felt was built around a man. Huh? I'm sure you have too. But here our Lord says, "I," himself, he said, "I will build my church." Folks, we can try as we may to build our church, but the church that Christ is going to bless is the one that we allow him to build. I want to be a part of his church. I believe we are part of his church. Peter says that we are the lively stones. Oh, hallelujah. That's why I don't like a dead church. Hello. We are lively stones that Christ uses to construct his church. And this church that Christ is building is the only one that's going to be approved and anointed and sustained by God. For the 13 years that my wife and I have been here at Broadway, and all those 13 years was not as your pastor. Almost two of those was as associate and assistant to Pastor Lance. But as a total of those 13 years that my wife and I have been here, it's been our prayer, it's been our desire to see Christ build his church right here in Lorain. We want this church to be all that Christ desires it to be, don't you? I believe that's the common goal of our leadership board and our staff, and I pray every ministry participator and every member. We want to be what Christ wants us to be. That's why I feel as your pastor, we resist many of the gimmicks and the techniques and the fads that many ministries use to increase the attention of a generation that has gone mad with entertainment. All we do, and all I want us to do, in a sense, is to lift Christ high. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Our job is to lift Christ high and then step out of the way so he can build the church his way. The truth is, the church as a whole throughout its history has been persecuted, rejected, maligned. It's been ostracized, and the people of God have been portrayed many times in the culture and then in the generation that they live. They've been portrayed to look like losers.
Hello?
But Christ says, we're not losers, we're winners. Praise God. And here in this passage, the Lord affirms the triumph. He affirms the victory of his church.
Oh, praise God.
Somebody just take a moment and just thank God for his church in 2017. His church is still alive. I said his church is still alive in 2017. Praise God.
So now, as we process this passage, I want us to look into some of the characteristics of some of the features of the church that Christ is building. First of all, I want us to look at the certainty of it. Secondly, I want us to look at the invincibility of it. And then thirdly and finally, the identity of it.
So let's go to first one, the certainty of it. Without any qualifiers, without any caveats, Christ said, I will build my church. How many know that's a divine promise? Oh, hallelujah. That is a promise from Christ, who's the true and faithful witness and who has never not kept his word. Because the future tense of the text does not imply that God has not been doing it, but rather that he does, and it implies emphatically that he will continue to do it until its completion. Now, there is in the present generation, and there's a popular movement that probably every pastor's had to deal with it. And it's this philosophy that says, I don't have to go to church to be a part of the church that Christ is building. Hello. Well, in some instances, that may be the case. But let me just say, that's not the New Testament norm. Turn to your neighbor and say, buckle your seatbelt. There may be a little turbulence ahead. All the way through the New Testament, it assumes that every believer participates in their local assembly. It gives no samples or examples of Christians who belong to the universal church but have no link to a local church. One Bible scholar, Alan Stibbs, in his book called God's Church, he said, and I quote, any idea of enjoying salvation or being a Christian in isolation is foreign to the New Testament writings. And whenever Christians are within the range of each other in the New Testament, they meet together. Did you hear me? They meet together and they have church. Hallelujah. For example, every time you see the Apostle Paul coming into a town in the book of Acts where there's no Christians, he wins a few converts and immediately he organizes them into a little church.
Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 reveals the practice of the early church. It says, and I quote, upon the first day of the week, then the disciples came together to break bread, and Paul preached to them. For Christians in every New Testament location, regular gathering was a part of their life. Huh? It's unscriptural to say that you're merely part of the worldwide universal church, yet refuse to gather with the segment of that universal church that exists in your geographical area. Let me illustrate. Are you up for an illustration? Okay, let's just say that tonight I hear that Brother Dylan, I'm going to pick on him, I hear that he's got a car. So I say, hey, Brother Dylan, I need a ride to Wendy's tonight after church. Can I ride with you? I don't know. Grandma, should I? Is he a very good driver? We'll leave that alone. Now, remember, I've heard that he had a car. Okay? When I ask him that, maybe he explains it like this. Well, Pastor, I kind of got a car. The right fender is in Toledo. The engine is in Cleveland, and the wheels are in Columbus. Well, Dylan, you don't have a car. You have the beginning of an inventory for a junkyard. It won't function until the pieces are put together. Hello. I said the church must come together to carry out its purposes. And for example, some of the irreplaceable pieces of the Christian that cannot happen when you live in isolation from the local church is, for one, the use of the spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 makes it very clear that God has given spiritual gifts for every Christian to use. And verse 7 states unmistakably that these abilities are not provided to make you feel good. They're not given for your own good. Isn't that what the scripture says? They are to minister and to be used for the common good of your faith community. And 1 Peter 4:10 makes it clear that we meet with other Christians so that our gifts will strengthen each other. God's gift of a preacher, God's gift of teaching is wasted if no one will come together. And so the gifts, another one is mutual ministry. The church is pictured as a body. Paul did that for the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul explains that each part of the body exists to meet the needs of the other parts. And in the same way, God intends each of us to meet the needs of other believers using our strengths to help in the areas of their weaknesses. 1 Corinthians 12:21 expresses it this way, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Neither can a Christian claim to be self-sufficient today. So the New Testament church is filled with one another commands. How can we obey these directives if we stay away from the gathering of one another? Okay, another one is accountability. Okay, God designed the church as a place where the spiritual leaders are to keep watch out for the welfare as shepherds guard the sheep. And a Christian who answers only to himself can easily rationalize his sinful attitudes and actions. So regular contact with believers is what's going to keep us sharp as iron sharpeneth iron. Listen, the single verse should actually be a sufficient answer for that idea and philosophy. Coming from Hebrews chapter 10, it's a great rebuttal for that this philosophy that I've just described about being a Christian, but don't go to church. Listen, Hebrews 12:25 says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Listen, so the first point is we have to be a part of this church. And I don't know about you, but I count it a privilege. I said it's a privilege to be a part of the church that Jesus is building. Praise God. All right, so the certainty of it. Notice he said, I will build my church. Say that with me. I will build my church. It's not me. It's not the leadership team. It's not the staff. It's got to be Jesus. Hallelujah. Secondly, we see the invincibility of the church. Now notice this. Verse 18 says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now what does that mean? We've heard all kinds of things regarding the meaning of that statement. One thing I believe is that it is not talking about an attack from hell's gates. No army ever attacked another army carrying a bunch of gates, because gates are not a weapon. You know, here comes the army carrying the gates. No, they don't do that. This is not an attack like that. Gates. What does that mean? Well, what's one of the main purposes of a gate? Number one, it keeps people in. And I believe that's a big part of the idea here. It's the idea that our enemy is going to try to contain us as a church. He wants to close us up. He wants to hold in our influence. He wants to imprison us. But Christ promises that our enemy won't be able to lock us away, won't be able to contain us, won't be able to hold us in. We will, by God's help, burst beyond these four walls. Hello? Wouldn't that be great in 2017 to burst beyond these four walls and fulfill our purpose in the Great Commission? Because the word prevail has the idea of overpowering, being dominated by, or winning the victory over. Christ was saying that there isn't any fence, there isn't any wall, there isn't any fortress that can close the church that I'm going to build in. It cannot be held captive, not even the powers of hell. I said not even the powers of hell, because the Greek word right there for hell is Hades. Now, Hades often means death. It's the grave. And Christ is saying there isn't any gate that's going to lock up the church that I built. It's not going to die. I said it's not going to die out. That's the idea. Not even the realm of death. The power of death itself cannot hold the church that Jesus is building. Why? Because Christ conquered death. I said Christ conquered death. That's his point. And in a roundabout way, this is a promise of a resurrection. Listen, it doesn't matter what Satan does. He may have the power of death, as Hebrews chapter 2 says, but Christ came down and Christ died and he went into the grave. And when he came out of the grave, Revelation 1:18 says, I have in my hands the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So this is a promise that nothing, somebody say nothing, is going to prevent the church from being what Christ has intended it to be. And I believe, how many know Satan knows the plan? And the reason Satan wants to devastate and destroy the church and hold it captive is so that it can't get released and it can't make its way to heaven and spend all eternity worshiping and praising God. Listen, I think every time we sing a hymn, every time we sing anointed chorus, Satan detests it. I said Satan detests it. His whole kingdom despises it. And the last thing he wants is a redeemed community forever in heaven, praising Christ the Son, praising God the Father. He wants to stop it by taking the church prisoner and taking it to the grave. But guess what? Christ had some very bad news for Satan. He said, Satan, forget it. You will not prevail against my church. I said, you will not prevail. Our spirits don't even... Hey, this is what believers now. Our spirits don't even go to the grave when we die. They go immediately to the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen, someday they're going to be released at the great resurrection. They're going to join themselves with our new bodies and redeem saints from all the places where God's got his church planted. And they're going to enter the presence of God. And there we'll begin to do what we were originally called to do. And that's worship. And that's glorify. And that's praise him without any time restraints. Why? Because he said the church will prevail. Praise God. I want to tell somebody tonight, the church that Jesus is building is not dead. I said, far from it, it is alive, and it will remain alive until Jesus comes back for it. Woo! Glory to God. We have entered into a brand new era. I tell you, Satan has stepped up his attack. He has taken a grip on our generation. And this generation needs the church desperately more than ever before. And the words of Christ reassure us that we shall prevail. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I just feel like rejoicing and celebrating that right there. I said, that's the invincibility of the church. Hallelujah. All right. I'm on my third point. And it's a Sunday night. Now we go into the identity of the church. Now, are you up for something a little different? With this final point, allow me to describe the church's identity from Scripture, from history. And in so doing, I hope to inspire and increase appreciation for what the church is, for what it does. For the sake of my delivery of this point, though, I need to speak as the church would speak. In other words, I think they call that first person. So I'm going to be describing the church as if I were the church. I'd like to get a little audience participation. Is that okay? So whenever I ask the question, who am I? I need you. As a congregation, will you respond verbally and say, I am the church? Okay, trial run. Who am I? One more time, that sounded pretty good. Who am I? All right, are you ready? I'm talking about the identity of the church. Here we go. I'm speaking for the church. The church now. I am a divine experience built upon a divine revelation, which is a solid rock, Christ Jesus. I was born in obscurity in an upper room in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And I have lived in palaces, and I've lived in poverty. I am no stranger to the poor. I've been raised on the wrong side of the tracks. Who am I? I was chosen from a life that was called foolish, weak, despised, worthless, so that I should not glory in my own pedigree or bloodline, but rather that I would glory in the presence and in the power of Christ. I am college students. I am high school dropouts. I am factory workers, and I am time card punchers. I am of all ages, stages, and sizes. I am teens with braces, grandmas with canes. I'm Sunday school youth whose parents are still asleep while we're sitting in class. I've lived on welfare and I've stood in the soup lines. And I used to be addicted to drugs. I used to belong to gangs. I was a street walker. I was an alcoholic. I was a liar and I was a thief. But now I'm washed. Now I'm sanctified. Now I'm justified. Who am I? I have lived in the guttermost, but have been raised, as Paul told the church at Ephesus, to the uttermost. I have been lifted from the miry clay. My feet have been established upon a solid rock. Angels watch over me daily. I am guided by divine direction. Heaven protects my every move. I am an army that's never lost a battle. I am victorious and more than a conqueror. I have been given authority in the name of Jesus over every evil spirit, every disease known to man. I have the power of the name of Jesus at my disposal. And I walk by faith and not by sight, because I live my life in the Spirit of Christ. Who am I? Oh, praise God. Throughout history, I've been crucified. I've been stoned. I have been beaten and mistreated, exiled and abandoned and persecuted, but yet I still prevail. I have been lied on, laughed at. I've had false prophets predict my death and write out my obituary. But even death, Jesus said, cannot stop me. By his divine help, there's no mountain I haven't climbed, no river I haven't crossed, no valley too deep that I have not been able to walk out of. Who am I, church? I am the church. I have been slowed down, but never stopped. I've been knocked down, but never knocked out. I've been cast down, Paul said, but not destroyed. Dictators can't stop me. Kings can't stop me. Presidents can't stop me. Generals with cruel armies can't stop me. Communism couldn't stop me. The Iron Curtain, the Bamboo Curtain, the Berlin Wall couldn't stop me. And even the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. Why? Because God is with me and he's on my side. Who am I? Oh, somebody praise him right there and say, I am the church. Hey, I'm feeling pretty good. Hallelujah. I am the church and I will not live in fear, because I have been given precious promises like these. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. There shall be no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he giveth his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. The Lord is the light of my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? Who am I, church? I am the church. Give him some praise right there. Praise God. I hope you're getting a picture of the church that you're a part of tonight. Listen, I've lived in prisons. I've lived in castles. I've lived in cities. And I've lived in desert places. I've lived in valleys and burrows. I've lived on every continent and under every under heaven, every nation on earth. I speak the languages of many tongues. I entertain no prejudice. I am one body. I am one body, but I represent many nations. Listen, who am I? I'm commissioned by the Great Commission, and I thrive on the Word of God. I said, I thrive on the Word of God, and I shout amen when the Word is proclaimed, and I can run the aisles, and I can dance in the Spirit when the Holy Ghost comes down. Listen, I love to praise and worship the King. I speak in tongues, and I prophesy. Why? Because I'm Pentecostal. I clap my hands and I can sing with a loud voice. I'll raise my hands in prayer and worship. I even leap for joy. Who am I? I am the church. Somebody give him praise. Glory to God. I'm thankful to be part of the church. I'm thankful to be part of the church. Hallelujah. 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 One of the reasons I exist is to give God praise. Psalm 150 and 1 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts and praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Oh, let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Who am I? Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. I'm still talking about the church. Holy living is my trademark. Spirit-filled worship is my hallmark. Prayer is my secret. Who am I? I am a tired missionary. I am an exhausted parent of small children. Huh? I am a tear-stained altar worker. I am a tired church visitation volunteer. I am a sleepy church bus worker, rising earlier than the rest of my family to leave on the church bus route for ministry. I am a Sunday school teacher with hyper children that won't ever be quiet. I'm a tired youth worker who burns the midnight oil. I'm a weary all-night prayer meeting attendee. I'm an evangelist with a raspy throat. I'm an exhausted musician at the end of a long altar service. I know what it's like to shout my hair down. Not me personally. I know what it's like to sing in tongues under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I know what it's like to make intercession and travail in prayer. I know what it's like to see someone led out of the service and seated in their car because they were too drunk on the Holy Ghost to find their car by themselves. Oh yes, I know what it's like to get lost in the Holy Ghost. I know where the prayer room is. I've seen firsthand the power of a praying mother or a praying grandmother. I've seen the power of a prayer closet. Who am I? I've seen lives changed. I've seen families restored. I've seen marriages brought back together. I've seen gays and lesbians delivered. I've seen bodies healed. I've seen minds restored. I've seen drug addicts delivered and smokers set free from the addiction of nicotine. I've seen alcoholics dried out. I've seen hard hearts softened. I've seen bitterness erased. And I've seen anger anger dissolved. Mistakes are forgiven and the wrongs can be righted and the unity can be restored all by the hand of God. Who am I? I am old time preaching. Hello. I said, I am old time preaching that touches the heart. Hello. I am anointed singing that stirs the soul. I am prayers that reach heaven's throne. Who am I? Oh, listen. I am the church. I don't have the styles of Hollywood. I avoid the immodesty of our generation because I am to be modesty on display. I am a king's son, but sometimes I wear clothes from Goodwill. I love purity, and so I walk with my head held high. I am holiness without apology. I am dedicated to separation from this world, and I refuse to be influenced by their immoral thinking. I despise every false and deceptive way and every work of the flesh. Carnal thinking is not for me. I must keep myself unspotted from this world. I proudly yet humbly represent the King of Glory. He is holy, therefore I am holy. My adornment is spiritual and precious rather than being worldly and cheap. My men look like men and my women look like women. Who am I? I was afraid I lost you on that shuffle. I am not a slave to fashion. I am a servant to Christ. And I am clothed with the garments of salvation. And impurity has no place in my heart. I am peculiar. I don't look like the devil's crowd. I don't talk like the devil's crowd. I don't even go where they hang out. I'm not comfortable in the nightclubs. I'm not comfortable in the movie theaters. I'm not comfortable in the dance halls. Who am I? I am the church. I am on a journey and I only walk the old paths. My music and my singing have been imitated but never duplicated because like the magicians of Egypt who cast down their rods before Moses, they tried. Oh, yes, they did. But they didn't have the message that Moses had. Moses had the message of deliverance. I don't know about you. But the church, I'm saying the true church of Jesus, they alone have the message of deliverance for a lost and decaying world. They alone have the keys to eternal life. Listen, who am I? And guess what? I'm described in Scripture, this is the church, as glorious. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. I'm described in Scripture as terrible as an army with banners. Now, terrible is not a bad thing there. Who am I? I'm the salt of the earth, the light of the world. A great house and general assembly of the firstborn. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. The family of God. The temple of God. AKA the bride of Christ. Who am I? Oh, thank God. I am not a social center. I said, I'm not a social center. I am not an elite club that's run by its members.
I am not just a clever tax shelter. I am not political or politically correct or socially acceptable. I'm not an entertainment center. I'm a redemption center. I'm a hospital for the hurting, an oasis for the spiritually thirsty. Give me your weary and your oppressed, your distressed, and I'll do all I can to lead them to Jesus. Who am I? Would you take a few seconds and praise him? Ooh, I feel the presence of God. I don't really know what this is, but I just needed it. Found it in the altar. Who am I? Just wanted to be sure you're still on identity. I am called to show forth the praises of him who hath called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Revival is my heartbeat. Calvary is my song. Oh, the blood of Jesus is my hope. The name of Jesus is what I love. The coming of Jesus is my prayer. I live to worship him, to witness for him, to love others for him, and to praise his name. I pray and I help my brother, and I obey his word and his will. Who am I? Woo. I am sanctified, blood washed, blood bought, spirit filled. I said spirit filled, water baptized, endued with power from on high. The names of all my true members may not be on a roll book, but they are written in the Lamb's book of life. I am the reason for Bethlehem. I am the reason for Calvary. I am Pentecost in action. I grow with travail. I grow with tears. And I am stronger when my pride decreases, but Christ increases. I am joyful when there's repentance, and I am one that celebrates the homegoing of my own, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Listen, I have prayed thousands out of sick beds. I've seen countless others raised up from their deathbeds. I've watched blind eyes open, and I've seen the lame to walk. Yet I still reach out to help others who've never heard about Jesus. While hope and time remain, I'm dedicated to helping others find Christ. I live in the supernatural. I walk in the Spirit, but I anticipate the joys of eternity in heaven with my King. Who am I, church? I love the unlovable. I reach the rejected and the outcasts. I am a refuge in troublesome times. I am a comfort from despair and a shelter in life's storms. And I give hope to the hopeless. And I minister to the needs of both the body and the soul. I am blessed most when I am being a blessing. Hello, I bear my brother's burdens, and I am an edifier because I point all men to Calvary. And listen, I lead the hungry to heaven's banqueting table, and I'm to take no glory for myself, but all the glory goes to my King. Listen, who am I? Listen, here we go. I'm getting ready to close. I am betrothed. I am engaged. There's a wedding day coming. Hallelujah.
I said, hallelujah, I am betrothed. And it's not just engaged to anybody. I'm engaged to the King of Kings, to the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Prince of Peace, the Rose of Sharon, the chief cornerstone, the captain of my salvation, the desire of all nations. He's a great high priest. He's a good shepherd. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Anybody hear wedding bells? Huh? Whew. I get excited when I hear his name. Come on. When you were engaged, you did the same. Huh? His name is above all others. His words are my life and my strength. And I pray for his touch. And I live for his presence. I have no other joy beside him. Whew. For all that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. He's the fairest of ten. Did you just say fairest of 10 grand? Woo. My days are limited. My time is short. So I am redeeming the time. I am going to be caught away very soon. See, Christ, my groom, is going to come to take me to a place that he's prepared for me. So I must work while I still have time. My light is burning. I have oil in my lamp, and the wick is trimmed. I am watching and praying. And I'm looking for his soon return. The vision is great, but the harvest is greater. Who am I? My job is never done. My task is not finished till all have come to the knowledge of the truth. My focus may not be upon myself, but on others. I cannot rest while other lost sheep are gone astray. I am called to rescue the perishing, and I'm charged with the responsibility of these lost souls. And heaven is watching, and hell is watching, and the world is watching. I must not falter. Oh, God, help us. I must not fail. I must not weaken. I must not compromise. So tonight, I make a fresh commitment. I will pray on. I will sing on. I will preach on. I will teach on. I am determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And the challenge before me may be great, but my King is greater. I shall be victorious because of him I'm called, chosen, and by God's grace I'll be faithful. Who am I? Whew. I've been talking about the church. In the book of Revelation, it says it's built on the rock. It has a firm foundation. That means it's unshakable. That means it's unstoppable. It's been through the fire and it's been through the flood. But one of these days, the church is going to move up higher. Woo! Hallelujah. I said, I'm just getting happy right there. It's the church triumphant. And it's been built by the hand of God. It's been sustained by the power of Christ. And are you in the church today? I said, if you're not in it, you need to get in it. And if you are in it, then you need to stay in it. Because we have an important job to do. And Jesus, I said, Jesus is coming soon. And I want to be part of His bride. I said, I want to be part of His bride. So when the devil comes and he tries to tempt you, listen, you need to determine to say, hey, devil, I've made a long-term commitment to stay in the church. Dylan, why don't you come out? Let's party Friday night.
Oh, that's a good response. He's going, oh. He's not going, he's going,
What's going to keep you from doing that? Huh? What's going to keep you from getting out of church in a few weeks? When the emotions die down and the trials come up.
Huh?
Listen, the church can be your lifeline if you'll let it be.
Hello.
I said the church can be your lifeline if you let it be.
Oh, but you know, I can make it by myself, Miguel. I can do my own thing.
Well, God be with you and bless you real good. But I have a feeling it's not going to look good in a little while.
Hello.
Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Oh God, I need the church, and the church needs me. I said, I need the church, and the church needs me. When I come to problems in my life, when I experience situations in my relationships, I know there's one place I can go, and I know there's one thing I can do, and that's I can enter into the presence of the church, and I can brush aside all the difficulties and my problems that seem so mountainous and tall, and I can get a fresh vision of my Heavenly Father. And the things of this world grow strangely dim in light of His glory and His grace. That's why I love the church. Stand with me. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, somebody just rejoice a little bit. I'm just about to break out in song. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Hey, listen, I'm not some high holy roller up here that's all this, me and my. No, I know had it not been for the grace of God, I would be nowhere except in the gutters of sin. But I say thanks be to God who causes me to triumph and who gave me victory over my bondage. Oh, somebody put your hands together and say, thank God I'm part of the church. Yes. 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 Oh, glory, 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 glory. I said, glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to grab somebody, shake their hand, and say, stay in the church. Yep, 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 yep. Oh, you got to get out of your seat. I want you to go to everybody. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. I told you this is a little different. Come on, walk around, cross the aisle if you have to. Brothers, hug a brother's neck. Sisters, hug a sister's neck and say, stay in the church. Stay in the church.
stay in the church. Well, do you hear them coming? Where's my musicians?
Longing up the steeps of life.
Where's my drummer?
Glorious, shining garments.
Where's the bass player?
Blood-washed garments pure and bright.
Up to his glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood
of the Lamb.
What is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle?
Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
What is a glorious church without spot or wrinkle? Washed in the blood
of the Lamb.
It's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Do you hear them coming, brother?
Thronging up the steeps of life.
All clad in glorious
shining garments.
Blood-washed garments pure and white. Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. How somebody worship him tonight. Oh, tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle.
Washed in the blood of the Lamb.
We'll wave the banner, shout his praises, for our victory is nigh. Somebody's taking home some victory tonight.
We shall join our conquering Savior.
We shall reign with him on high. It's a glorious church
without spot or wrinkle. Washed in the blood.
You want to? These altars are open. Why don't you just come in and take a few moments and why don't you commune with your King? Why don't you commune with your bridegroom? Why don't you tell him how much you love him for including you in the church? Oh, he didn't have to die for us, but he did. Oh, I feel his presence. Well, never fear the clouds of sorrow.
Never fear the storms of sin,
for we shall triumph on the morrow. Even now our joys begin. It's a glorious church
without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And it's a church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. 'Tis a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It's a glorious church
without spot or wrinkle,
washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, it's a glorious church without spot or wrinkle,
washed in the blood.
Well, wait.